exposing the changing worldviews behind the issues that are fundamentally changing our nation and world, The Sharon Hughes Show starts now.
They don't believe there are other sides. There are truth tellers and deniers. There are truth tellers and anti-science. Sexist, intolerant, xenophobic, homophobic, Islamophobic, racist, bigoted. There's no need to think on the left. They measure by weak and strong, black and white, West and non-West, first world and third world, but not good and evil.
They have done their very best to remove every single vestige of Christianity from the public square. In spite of the fact that George Washington said it would be impossible to govern without God and the Bible, John Adams said it would be impossible to govern without God and the Ten Commandments.
The Supreme Court has been converted into a fighting ally of secularism in the wars against traditionalism in the United States. The Supreme Court has perverted the Constitution. It has usurped power that belongs to the states and imposed secular views and values on the states and on the communities, making decisions that used to be made democratically at the local level.
These are left-wing totalitarians who want to remake the world. They're very dangerous. They are impervious to evidence. They're still socialists despite the discrediting of socialism worldwide.
Hello, friends. Thank you so much for tuning in to the show today, spending your time with me. So this week in our nation, what have you been focusing on? Are you focused on the fact that Johnson & Johnson asked their rival companies such as Moderna and Pfizer and AstraZeneca to join them in blood clot research that has, of course, now happened to some who have had the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, only AstraZeneca accepted? Or are you focused on some very interesting news that NASA is awarding SpaceX an exclusive contract to land humans on the moon? The company's Starship spaceship will carry NASA's Artemis astronaut missions. Now, SpaceX is founded by Elon Musk, and he beat out Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin for the contract. Clinching the lunar landing contract means that SpaceX's Starship will fly astronauts to the moon for NASA's program, which seeks to put boots on the surface of the moon by 2024. Or maybe you're focused on the fact that the White House, the Biden White House, has reversed plans not to raise the refugee cap after being met by some really strong opposition from Democrats. And so he has vowed to roll out the new number next month. What are we talking about? Well, Biden says he was going to keep President Trump's 15,000-person cap for fiscal 2021. After vowing in February that he would admit as many as 65,000 by the end of the year. But Friday afternoon, after major pushback from Democrats, the Biden administration changed course. Or maybe you've been focused on things like Senator Chuck Schumer, who pressed Biden on Friday to use executive action to wipe out up to $50,000 in federal student loan debt per borrower. Or maybe you're focused on what's going on with social media, such as Twitter, suspending Project Veritas founder James O'Keefe. The reason for the suspension, not made clear, but it does follow a lot of disclosures this past week from Project Veritas, an undercover operation in which a CNN technical director was documented on video boasting that CNN contributed to the 2020 defeat of President Donald Trump from office and talking about how the coronavirus pandemic is, quote, gangbusters with ratings. So Twitter suspends James O'Keefe from being able to report on this. No surprise. And I don't know, what do you think about this? Did you know that Chelsea Clinton called on Facebook to ban Tucker Carlson from Facebook following posts that were made, including Tucker Carlson's speculation on the effectiveness of the coronavirus vaccines? Oh, there's a lot of things we could talk about, a lot of things that we've been hearing about that's going on in our nation and the world. Let me just say, most of it, including most of what I just detailed here, is merely secularism. And I'll explain what I mean on today's show.
You're listening to Sharon Hughes, taking you to the front lines and behind the scenes.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dacus.
H.R. 1, or For the People Act of 2021, is anything but. Among its provisions, it would stifle free speech, destroy fair elections, and violate states' rights. One very disturbing point for Pacific Justice Institute and other nonprofits is the establishment of investigative powers for the IRS to decide the political and policy leanings of organizations filing for tax-exempt nonprofit status. Folks, clearly, this 800-page bill unconstitutionally seeks to give more power to the federal government at the loss of freedom for all.
Learn more about our ministry and get exclusive email updates by registering for The Legal Insider at pji.org. Remember the website, pji.org.
Apex Health has come out again yet with another product. It's called GFM for gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It is their advanced formula of gold, actually turmeric, which is considered the gold spice, frankincense, which is boswellia, myrrh, all in their patented aloe vera base. And what does this formula do? You can find out more about it at their website, but by and large, it is a premier product to help address pain, such as joint pain, but other pain, and to address the immune system and lots more.
This is Gail from California, and it seems like before I started taking Aloe Apex and the GFM, it was like walking uphill. Everything seemed to be an effort, and about 2 weeks after I started taking it, I noticed I was moving faster, had more energy, was doing stuff, and it was just like, wow. And then after about a month, it really started kicking in, and I was just so happy.
If you go to apexhealth.life/Sharon, you can get a 25% discount or call 833-334-5433. Again, 833-334-5433.
You're listening to Sharon Hughes, taking you to the front lines and behind the scenes.
Secular versus the sacred. We're going to give some definitions here, but the late Francis Schaeffer, someone that I have read extensively, said, quote, "I believe that pluralistic secularism in the long run is a more deadly poison than straightforward persecution." That's quite a statement. And, you know, I've been thinking quite a bit about, as a culture watcher, if you will, what is going on in our nation. We have reported on this throughout our entire radio presence, which, by the way, this month we are celebrating 18 years on the air. And for those that are new to us, we started in the belly of the beast in San Francisco. So we have had a lot to talk about over the last 18 years, not the least of which pointing out secularism, pointing out pluralism, or what it means to be pluralistic, a pluralistic society, pointing out humanism, because these are three roots that have taken hold in our nation that were not planted at the founding of America. Certainly not, as you heard the late Dr. D. James Kennedy say in the clip, George Washington or John Adams or any of the other founders, certainly not the Pilgrims, they did not plant, promote, and provide into our Constitution and the framework of our nation secularism, humanism, or pluralism. That was not the foundation of this nation. So let's look at a couple of definitions here today. I want to focus on secularism, and we're going to talk about these three roots, if you will, in the weeks to come. Today, focusing on secularism, especially as it is contrasted by what we would call the sacred. So, Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the definition of secularism is indifference to or rejection or exclusion of religion and religious considerations. Now, let's just think about what's going on in our country right now. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to take us to higher levels, if you will, of understanding what's going on planet Earth, specifically here in America. The definition of secular humanism, which we will focus on in another show, but is viewed as a non-theistic religion antagonistic to traditional religion. So if you recall, several decades ago, the Supreme Court even defined humanism as a religion. So you've got secularism that's indifferent to or rejects or excludes religion and religious considerations from everything, from individual decision-making to government policy. And humanism is a humanistic philosophy that is a non-theistic religion, an anti-God religion that is antagonistic to traditional religion. So get those out there as kind of a framework, but let's also look at what the definition of sacred is, because that's what we're talking about. Secularism that rejects everything that has to do with the sacred. And again, Merriam-Webster is sacred means dedicated or set apart for the service or worship of God, considered holy, highly valued, and important. So basically what we're talking about, secularism means no God, get God out, everything that has to do with him out of society. Let's have a secular society. Humanism basically is I am God, man is God, man is the center of the universe. And then pluralism, which we'll talk about down the road, is that there are many gods. Secularism, no God. Humanism, I am God. Pluralism, there are many gods. Why am I taking the time to talk about this? Because it is key to what is happening in the breakdown of American society. Here's some things that are being said online by those that are secularists as what their goals are, or by those that are pointing out what secularism is, that I think is valid for the discussion and the point of why we're even talking about this. Number one, secularism ignores the presence of the soul and also the afterlife. There is no afterlife. Christianity's vision, of course, is based on Jesus Christ and all that the Bible talks about, giving individuals a purpose in life, values, where secularism's vision is focused on pleasure, worldly standards, and values. Basically, what we're talking about to the secularist, God is the state, faith is tolerance, sin means discrimination, Jesus was the ideal citizen, equal before God to the secularist means equal before the state. A future heaven to the secularist means a future egalitarian utopia, and on and on. I was reading from the website, The Atheist Revolution, and they are talking about something that is gaining more and more attention, and that is quote-unquote Christian nationalism. And the title of the article is White or Not, Christian Nationalism is a Serious Problem in the United States. And the whole article is pointing out it's not enough to talk about white Christian nationalism, that what needs to be talked about is Christian nationalism. They say placing the word white in front of Christian nationalism is a problem. Let me just read a little bit what they say. It refers to a somewhat smaller group, incorporates race unnecessarily, and obscures the uncomfortable reality that not all Christian nationalists are white people, although most do appear to be. They say we don't want to admit that a person of color could be a Christian nationalist, but our reluctance to do so does not make it any less true. Moreover, they submit that Christian nationalism, Christian extremism, Christian dominism, or whatever term you prefer to use, are all problematic regardless of the race or ethnicity of those involved. Basically, what they're saying here is that they are against what they call Christian nationalism. Okay. What does all this mean? What is Christian nationalism? What is it? What do you think it means? It doesn't mean anything more than people who are Christians are patriotic and they love their country. That's what it is. religious people think it's terrible because Christians should not mix with patriotism. And then there are those, such as I just read to you from the Atheist Revolution and secularists and so forth, that believe Christian nationalism is bad because they want a secular society. They want a secular nation. So they don't want there to be Christian nationalism. But I need to ask a question here. You know, you can tell me what you think about this, but what if there was black nationalism, or there was Jewish nationalism, or there was Muslim nationalism? You know, you get the idea. Would those come under the same kind of attack as Christian nationalism? I don't think so. So what is this all about? It is about political correctness, if you will. Just like everything else, changing the language that you can use now to identify different genders. We've talked about that, and I know you're well aware of what all that's about, or any other issue. So now it's bad to be a Christian and to be a nationalist. So let's target it, let's label it, let's criticize it, and that'll get the goal, to get Christians out of the public square. You stay in the pew, you say your prayers, and stop trying to influence public policy. That's the bottom line of the goal here. Now, are there white supremacists? Yes. Prejudice is a terrible thing. Racism is a terrible thing. But because Christians have gotten so involved, for those that don't want Christian values or Christian people to be involved in government, then they have to target it, they have to label it, they have to define it, they have to make it get to where you feel ashamed about it. I mean, you know, they've even got it to the place where white people are apologizing for being white. How can you apologize for being white? You can't apologize for being black or any other color or any other nationality. You're born that way. Now, you should apologize if you've been prejudiced. You should apologize if you've done harm to others. You should do whatever it takes to make things right as an individual and as a nation. Certainly, that was what happened with what the Civil War was all about and what the Civil Rights Movement was all about. When we get back from this break, I want to read to you how Ireland is seeking to address this issue. And then my guest, author of Left Illusions, David Horowitz. Stay with me.
Coming to you from the Sierra Nevada foothills of Northern California, you're listening to Sharon Hughes, Saying It Like It Is.
On the field of battle, common men do uncommon things.
They volunteer to protect our freedom.
I was ambushed in Afghanistan on my third deployment.
My truck ran over an anti-tank landmine.
We've had phone calls interrupted by mortars.
We see the physical scars, but there's spiritual scars, a lot of pain.
We've been separated twice.
He was standing on the end of the bed, screaming at me, incoming, incoming, get down, get down.
I would have a gun to my head.
I need my marriage to be saved.
Samaritan's Purse is wanting to try to save the marriages of these men and women who have served our country so valiantly.
This has given us hope.
Before we got here, our marriage was broken. It was falling apart.
It's amazing to see God take a hold of a life that has been damaged through war, and then all of a sudden come to a place where they realize they've got help that they haven't been able to find anywhere else.
It's a weekend retreat where it's focused again on marriages. We need your help. We need your support for us at Samaritan's Purse to be able to do programs like Operation Heal Our Patriots. We need people to stand by us financially to do it. It's an expensive program, but it's worth every penny investing in these men and women that have suffered so much for our freedom and for our nation.
Our special offer this month is a CD pack series, The Emergence of the Religious Political Left. It is a battle over power, and there are some that will stop at nothing, including using religion, even Christianity, to get votes. So for $25 to help us pay for our airtime, we will send you our CD pack series on the emergence of the religious political left, such as Jim Wallis, founder of Sojourners, who supported Barack Obama in his elections, but calls President Trump's policies antichrist.
Today,
Jesus would have been the one celebrating the Black Lives Matter movement, shoulder to shoulder with his neighbors, especially those who are immigrants or refugees. Jesus would furiously defend our warming planet, regardless of whether that activism was popular.
So how is the religious political left operating in 2021? We'll include a surprise book from our storehouse, and not just any book, but one of the most relevant to what is going on right now. So don't miss out while supplies last. Just go to changingworldviews.com and click on the donate button, or send your check to Changing Worldviews, P.O. Box 995, Cedar Ridge, California 95924. We'd love to send this to you, and thank you ahead of time for helping us cover airtime costs.
You're listening to The Sharon Hughes Show. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Just follow the links at the bottom of the page at changingworldviews.com.
Thanks for staying with me. Okay, so I love Ireland. Someday I hope to be able to go there. There's something about it. There's something about the people that are very charming and endearing. There is an organization over there called Rebuilding the Christian Culture in Ireland. And let me just read some of what they're saying about what's happening in that part of the world on this very same issue. The secular state excludes religion, God, from its public square. As the power and scope of the state expands, society becomes more and more absorbed by secularism, increasingly denying, rejecting Christianity, and replacing God with the state. This overreach of secularism is promoted by popular culture, by the media, and plays to the emotions, i.e., for a utopia. By contrast, Christianity has stood for 2,000 years and has contributed the greatest good to our civilization, our heritage. They go on to point out that the French Revolution in the 18th century was an early form of secularization. Both socialism and secularization exclude God and become similar in their governance approach. Both try to develop utopia in this life. We all know this is not possible, but we are tempted or tested, especially by political promises, to this illusion. But no God means no fear of God, which then means lack of wisdom, which then means foolishness. Secularism defines man as an economic unit, materialism, and a being of pleasure. It prioritizes feelings over reason and confusion over clarity. The common good becomes free stuff, entitlement, and the conscience becomes sentiment. In Christianity, the transcendent person seeks salvation from God's grace, resists temptation, and lives a life of service, a virtuous life of service. The death culture is part of secularism. Christianity is pro-life. Secularism especially involves society in a race to the bottom. Christianity, by contrast, helps us to lift ourselves and society up. St. Augustine said, "Every sin brings with it its own punishment." And the author here in Ireland says, "We are now down the road to a depopulation in Western Europe, and the consequences will become apparent over the next 10 to 15 years as society there experiences a lack of indigenous families and children." Well, I want to encourage you, if you have never seen it, and I've recommended it in the past, the documentary Cultural Marxism. You can watch it online. It's a little over an hour. You'll recognize some of the voices, Patrick Buchanan, others, talking about the history of cultural Marxism and how it operates. It's a plan. Cultural Marxism has an agenda, has points that they're checking off their list, and they have been successful in accomplishing many of their goals here in America. If you want to understand what has happened to America, I encourage you to watch Cultural Marxism.
The whole point of a socialistic society is to do four things. Marx talks about destroying the family, two, destroying property, three, destroying religion, and four, destroying the nation. And what you end up with is the gulag, where the whole country becomes the Soviet Union.
Yes, critical theory is diabolical genius. The cultural Marxist could accomplish what Marx, Lenin, Trotsky, and Stalin only dreamed of accomplishing. Whereas Lenin, Trotsky, and Stalin took Marx's ideas and delivered the brutal Soviet Union to the world, Gromsky, Lukacs, and Marcuse took Marx's ideas and delivered user-friendly cultural Marxism to America.
The Supreme Court has been converted into a fighting ally of secularism in the wars against traditionalism in the United States. The Supreme Court has perverted the Constitution. It has usurped power that belongs to the states and imposed secular views and values on the states and on the communities, making decisions that used to be made democratically at the local level.
This time, it seems, Marx won. Starting in the 1960s, cultural Marxism has woven its values into every American's very existence. Khrushchev was right when he said, "We will bury you." Some years after Marx failed, several of his disciples got a new idea on how to take over the world. One of his disciples, Antonio Gramsci, while, where else but in prison, wrote up a series of plans, now known as the Prison Notebooks. In this plan, Gramsci announced, "The workers of the world will unite only after the Long March is over." The Long March?
In other words, they had to get into the culture and change the way of people's thinking. And if people were thinking about patriotism and nation and God and country, that was a mechanism which was too resistant to Marxism. It could never take hold. So you had to erode and destroy that in the individuals. That began what's called the Long March through the institutions, through the seminaries, through the churches, through the media, through Hollywood, and all the rest of it, to create an anti-Christian culture which would destroy the Christian beliefs and convictions in the vast majority of the people, so they would embrace the ideas of Marxism and they would embrace the ideas that they had rejected, and they would be open to a takeover, basically, by Marxists. Now, not political Marxists, but cultural Marxists.
Rather than workers uniting and marching into battle, thus seizing power through force, they would make a long march through the institutions. Institutions like the arts, cinema, theater, literature, schools, college, seminaries, newspapers, magazines, and what is now known as radio, TV, and the mass media. Once this march is over, all the barriers to the acceptance of Marxism will have been quietly and systematically removed.
You're listening to Sharon Hughes, bringing you truth in the midst of fake news.
My name is Joni, and I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I recently purchased a bottle of Aloe Apex. As I took the product more and more, I've experienced total healing in my gut. I was also seeing gastroenterologists. The aloe seems to have settled my stomach down. My whole digestive tract is just running optimally. I seem to be sleeping better. The Aloe Apex has allowed me more stamina, more endurance without any pain. I wholly support this product.
And if you go to Apex Health, apexhealth.life/Sharon, you can order your first bottle or bottles of Aloe Apex at the special price of $29.95, or call 833-334-5433. Again, 833-334-5433, using the promo code Sharon Special. Let's just stop for a minute and think about safeguarding our finances. More and more Americans have been investing in gold and silver rather than the traditional investments. And if you happen to be someone that wants to know what to do or wants to transfer some of your investments into precious metals, then I would encourage you to talk to our friend Tom Cloud, who has been in the investment business for over 30 years, and he's very fair. He doesn't charge the 40 or 50% commission that a lot of these gold and silver folks do. And here's Tom's information in case you are interested, and be sure and mention that Sharon Hughes sent you.
We're down in near Atlanta, Georgia, and they can reach me at 800-247-2812, 800-247-2812. And once again, if they do call, if they ask me on the email blast, I'll be happy to add them where they can receive this information that I send out two or three times a week. 800-247-2812.
You may be someone that is not interested in that, but nevertheless, it is a good time We should do this regularly to check on whatever investments we do have, even if it's a savings account. Are we getting a good return on our money? And talk to someone, or at least self-educate yourself on if there's a financial crisis, even if it's just for a short period of time, what is the best way to protect your money? So the survival tip today is take a look at your investments. It's the smart thing to do.
Here's more with your host, Sharon Hughes, bringing you the best on faith, family, and freedom.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you heard in the opening clips of the show some comments by Dennis Prager. Some of you are familiar with him. I just want to kind of round out our topic today with some more of what he said on the subject of those that are working to fundamentally transform our culture here in America. Let's play that.
They don't believe there are other sides. There are truth tellers and deniers. There are truth tellers and anti-science. By the way, one of the things, because I studied leftism, that was my, I studied communist affairs, Marx, leftism, and one of the things that they have always excelled at is one-word dismissals of their ideological enemies. So Stalin called Trotsky, the father of Bolshevism, he called him a fascist. Mm-hmm. So Trotsky was a fascist. There was no need to debate Trotsky. You call him a fascist and then have him killed with an ice pick. That's in a nutshell what the left does. Six Herb, sexist, intolerant, xenophobic, homophobic, Islamophobic, racist, bigoted. There is no need to think on the left. They don't measure by good and bad. They measure by weak and strong, black and white, West and non-West, first world and third world, but not good and evil.
And that's the perfect intro into my interview with author of Left Illusions, David Horowitz. It's our flashback for the week, and might I say, more than relevant. Flashback. Okay, so what's behind all of this sexualization of children and the attack on religious beliefs and attack on conservatism? Well, our next guest, David Horowitz, author of numerous books, former communist turned conservative. We've had him on the show several times. This is the interview I had with him on his book, Left Illusions. This is from somebody who knows because, well, he's been there and he knows how we got to where we are. Here it is.
David is a nationally known author and lifelong civil rights activist. He was one of the founders of the New Left in the 60s, and in the 70s, he created the Oakland Community Learning Center, an inner city school for disadvantaged children that was run by the Black Panther Party. In his book, Radical Son, David tells of his journey from one political spectrum to the other. Since 1988, he has served as president of the Center for the Study of Popular Culture and is editor of Front Page Online Magazine. David, welcome to Changing Worldviews. It's so good to have you on the show.
Thank you, Sharon.
Before we talk about your latest book, Left Illusions, which I find fascinating, and the fifth column that you've also written quite a bit about, could you just briefly give our listeners a small sketch of your journey from the left to where you are today, and how did that come about?
Sure. My parents were card-carrying members of the American Communist Party, so insofar as you can come by such bad politics, honestly, I did. I was a founder of the New Left, arriving in Berkeley, California, in the fall of 1959. Edited the largest magazine of the left, and then in the early 70s, raised money, as you mentioned, for a school for the Black Panther Party. And then in 1974, the Black Panthers murdered the woman whom I had recruited to do the bookkeeping for this school.
My goodness.
And that was the end of my days in the left. I realized that I was surrounded by murderers and their defenders. And the whole left is guilty of covering up these crimes. They do it today. And I became a conservative in the 1980s.
I know in your latest book, Left Delusions, you talk about identifying the contemporary political left, and you say that the term liberal should be reserved for those who occupy the center of the political spectrum, and that those to the left are better referred to as leftists.
What are liberals, or so-called liberals, liberal about these days? Hard drugs and sex. Everything else, they want to, you know, really control your life. They want to tell you what kind of car to buy, want to prevent you from smoking if you choose to do so, and are on a crusade to outlaw fatty foods. You know, at first it'll be McDonald's, then it'll be steak generally. These are left-wing totalitarians who want to remake the world. They're very dangerous. They are impervious to evidence. They're still socialists despite the discrediting of socialism worldwide.
Do they acknowledge that?
Yeah, they think they're the army of the saints. They think that they are social redeemers and that they're better than all the rest of us. And you can tell that by their arrogance and by their rude interruptions whenever they're debating someone who disagrees with them.
Now, you also talk about identifying the hard left, namely those who are dedicated enemies of America. So who are the hard left and what do they believe and advocate?
The left is a kind of spectrum, so the views are generally shared. I mean, the idea that if there is a gap between people's incomes, this is somehow an injustice instead of a reflection of different human capabilities. And the desire of the whole Democratic Party is a redistributionist party, and it believes in stealing from people who've earned money and giving it to people who haven't. So in one sense, they're all of a piece, and that's why the Democratic Party embraces a racist like Al Sharpton, who incited the lynching of 8 people, a Jew in Brooklyn and 7 blacks and Hispanics in a store owned by a Jew in Harlem, which are all people who are dead as a result of Al Sharpton's incitement, still embraced by the Democratic Party. So there was more clarity during the Cold War because you had the Communist Party and then the fellow travelers. But the model works very well. The Communist Party itself is still going, but not that important. But the left operates in the same way. You have a fifth column of dedicated anti-Americans. The Nation magazine is their flagship, the Progressive, for people who go on the internet, commondreams.org, zmag.org, indiamedia.org. There's a ton of sites. They were out in these demonstrations, basically trying to tie the hands of the United States in its efforts to defend its citizens and actually every freedom-loving person in the world from terrorists. They are in all our colleges. They are a very powerful force in every collegiate institution.
Well, David, we're going to take a short break, but let's pick it right up there when we come back. So don't go away. We're just only getting started.
Changing Worldviews with Sharon Hughes knows the importance of bringing concise commentary on the day's news.
Radical agendas that are finding ways to mainstream themselves into public policies. It's time to pay attention and take off the rose-colored glasses and look at things as they really are.
Won't you partner with us? For a donation of $15 a month, you'll receive our monthly Best of the Best program on CD and Sharon's monthly Saying It Like It Is letter. Just go to changingworldviews.com/donation page and sign up online.
Are you feeling run down? Don't have the energy and vitality you once had? Are you ready to feel alive again? Introducing the breakthrough world-class aloe vera wellness drink with proven health benefits and life-changing testimonies to match.
I'm Patrick Kincaid, brother of Thomas Kincaid, the painter of life. Tom spent his career creating wonderful depictions of family and faith that people bring into their homes in order to have a positive impact. Well, I'm also a huge advocate of the aloe plant, particularly in Alive Again, that integrates the goodness of the earth, the magic of this wonderful healing plant into a form that's absolutely delightful to take.
Alive Again is the result of decades of studies and was developed by one of the founding members of the International Aloe Science Council. Alive Again provides a healthy, natural, antioxidant-rich, great-tasting super fruit drink. Research suggests the nutrients found in Alive Again may enhance energy, promote a healthier immune and cardiovascular system, stabilize cholesterol, blood pressure, and blood sugar levels, and so much more. Now is your opportunity to experience the wonders of aloe and feel alive again.
And special for our Changing Worldviews listeners, that if you would like to get alive again for a 20% discount, just go to apexhealth.life/Sharon. 20% discount. Enter the code Sharon for this fantastic product.
Well, welcome back. And I have with me today David Horowitz of Front Page Magazine, and we're talking about the left. Now, David, you write quite a bit about the fifth column. Would you tell our listeners what you mean by that and why you think it's important?
Well, let me give a few examples. The so-called peace demonstrations, which mobilized hundreds of thousands of people in the United States and, of course, were connected to millions abroad, which ran all these America-hating slogans, America's the axis of evil, mm-hmm. and so forth and so on, were organized by two or three organizations. One was called International Answer, which is a front group for the Workers' World Party, mm-hmm. a Marxist-Leninist sect that wants a Bolshevik revolution in America and that aligns itself with the North Korean regime. Another group, not in our name, which ran big ads with Hollywood celebrities and mm-hmm. the New York Times and also organized demonstrations, is run by the Revolutionary Communist Party, which aligns with communist China. And the moderate group is called United for Peace and Justice. It was formed in the offices of People for the American Way, has deep roots in the Democratic Party, and the person they selected to run it, actually there's two women that run it. One is Leslie Kagan, who is a 60s Stalinist, pro-Cuba communist, member of the American Communist Party, even after the fall of the Berlin Wall. And the other woman, Medea Benjamin, lived in Cuba for 5 or 6 years as another Castro-leaning communist. Not, you know, this sort of peeked its head into the press every now and then, but of course mm-hmm. nobody focused on it. But that's who the organizers of the so-called peace movement were. They went to Iraq to try to get U.S. troops to defect as conscientious objectors. I know that didn't work too successfully. But they are dedicated enemies of America. They're deeply entrenched in American universities, whereas conservatives haven't got a toehold.
You know, I so appreciate you exposing this for what it is, you know, and I know that you've documented this.
Well, I have a couple of websites. Frontpagemagazine.com is one. Another is studentsforacademicfreedom.org. And I have launched a national student movement because the Republican Party has paid no attention to this and neither have conservatives generally. Mm-hmm. And this is a wake-up call. I've launched this movement. I cannot do this by myself. Mm-hmm. I have student organizers on, I think we're up to 59 campuses.
Wonderful.
And I need the help of everyone out there at a college or a high school where they're encountering the indoctrination activities of the political left. You want to go up to this site. We have an academic bill of rights that we're trying to get adopted by schools and by legislatures across the country. We're having a lot of success, but we have a lot of support from legislators. I think this is
going
to be an important movement. It'll be much more important if we can get a lot of people.
Well, David, our time is up, and I want to thank you for being with us today, and especially for your work to expose the enemy within, as you say, as well as the work that you're doing for true civil rights. Would you like to tell our listeners once again those websites and any other resources that they might want to get?
Well, I have two websites which I would like you all to take a look at and support if you can. One is frontpagemagazine.com or frontpagemag.com, which is devoted to the wars at home and abroad. And the other is studentsforacademicfreedom.org. And we have an 800 number. It's 800-752-6562 for anybody who has questions or if you would like to help us.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, David.
Okay, great.
Well, we're going to take one more break, and then when we come back, I want to wrap it up. I've got a young man who's a voice for the millennials who's concerned about not just what has happened to my America, but what has happened to my generation. You got to hear it.
Sharon Hughes of Changing Worldviews Talk Radio is not afraid to talk about the political and cultural war being waged in our nation today. Not afraid to challenge the progressive agenda that's trying to reinvent and fundamentally change America, Sharon challenges listeners to engage in the public square and help pull the rope over the line for the truth. Want trustworthy and concise coverage? Sharon delivers the bottom line on the issues. And check out her website at changingworldviews.com.
Well, Apex Health has done it again. They've come up with a new product, Nature's Miracle, a healing lotion.
This is Elias from San Antonio, Texas. Testimonial on the Nature's Miracle ointment. I've been using that on small burns and cuts, and within hours, you can see the healing begin. And on my wife, she's bedridden. I've used it on rashes on her face and on her legs, and the same thing. I'll tell the nurses kind of as a joke. I'll say, this is going to start to heal within a few hours, and within 2 or 3 hours, they can already see the difference. So it's a great product. I recommend it.
The ingredients used in Nature's Miracle were originally for diabetic patients who have diabetic ulcers with great success. Apex Health has added a few more ingredients to make it even more effective for bed sores, for burns, as well as everyday cuts and scrapes and skin conditions. And also for Changing Worldviews listeners, you can get a 25% discount. Go to Apex Health, apexhealth.life/Sharon. You can order with the special price of $29.95 or call 833-334-5433. Again, 833-334-5433. Well, thanks for staying with me. Okay, I had the privilege of talking with Jonathan Creevy, who I believe is a strong voice for his generation, very concerned about his generation. And let's just wrap it up before we close out with a favorite song, like I always do. Wanted to give this young man a place at the mic because his generation counts.
I find at my age there's a profound lack of information, especially for those of my generation. And many students, people of my age, don't have the different sources of information, the different viewpoints, especially coming from the public school or other venues such as that. The different conservative viewpoints are not expressed. And I really feel that as a younger member of the generation that I should be publicizing and talking more about the conservative ideals so that people would at least have a chance to hear both sides of the issues.
And specifically the people of your generation. You were telling me about a recent debate. You belong to an organization where only about 10% are conservative. And how is that reflective, do you think, of your generation today?
Well, it is frightening to see some of the viewpoints that many of the people my age have on all of the issues, where we consider a moderate person a socialist. And the radicals, of course, are on the far left, going out to communism and beyond.
Are you joking when you say
I am absolutely serious, where at the last organization, the Junior Statesmen of America, 10% of the kids there were conservative. The rest, the 90%, were socialists and beyond.
My goodness.
So, and unfortunately, I think that is representative of the current population as far as the younger generation goes, because public school, those alternative viewpoints just aren't available.
Well, and it's not just that they're not available, but there's another viewpoint that's really being propagated.
Absolutely, absolutely. With every class, everything except for perhaps math, the liberal viewpoint can be incorporated. And unfortunately, I mean, even with fuzzy math, you know, you can incorporate liberal viewpoint.
Yeah, so. Multiple mathematical worldviews. I've heard about that.
Well, that's just a taste of the conversation I had with Jonathan Creevy. By the way, he finished high school and went on to law school at the age of 16.
Flashback.
Next week, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be continuing this discussion and specifically zeroing in on organizations such as the ACLU. I was fortunate enough to interview the late Dr. D. James Kennedy. He wrote a book on this subject that is so important over the years we've talked about.
You remember that when the ACLU was founded in 1920, Baldwin, who said in a public speech, communism is the goal, and formed that organization when he realized that through the courts, he could accomplish more than he could out in the streets protesting. And on the first board of the ACLU, there were two people who later became not only members of the board of the Communist Party, but the chairman of the board of the Communist Party. And they were declared to be a communist front by the House Committee on Un-American Activities, by the New York Bar Association, the California Bar Association, by even the United Mine Workers declared them to be a subversive organization.
Trust me, you don't want to miss that show. And until then, for now, I want to close out with one of my favorite songs. And today's choice is
by Amy Grant.
Every life, every beating heart has a searching soul inside. Every needing, every seeking out the meaning to life. I refuse to believe that we're only here to live and die. Of a faithless haze, never asking why would I, when I felt the hand of eternity, it's a legacy.
Well, that's it for now. I look forward to our next time together. And until then, I encourage you, stand strong. This is Sharon Hughes from California, saying it like it is.
You've been listening to Changing Worldviews with Sharon Hughes. You can follow Sharon at facebook.com/Sharon and twitter.com/Sharon. Please take advantage of our online shows covering topics and guests we can't possibly cover on our weekly show. That's why we offer more at our website, changingworldviews.com. Join Sharon next time, and until then, stay alert, stay informed, because we live in a changing world.